desert.
In the great American Southwest, I bid you all
good evening,
or good morning as the case may be, across all these many prolific time zones. From the western side, including the Hawaiian, Tahitian island chains, and more, to the eastern side, the Caribbean, the U.S. Virgin Islands near Montserrat. We're going to be talking a little bit about Montserrat tonight. And south into South America, north to the pole, worldwide on ye old internet. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Welcome. It will be a night of many things. It is a night of the full moon. Have you looked outside? Have you seen that moon? Oh, it will bring many strange things with it, as it always does. I'm not really sure what it is about the moon. I just know it's true. Years and years and years in talk radio, and I know that when the moon is full like that, there is an edge to people, kind of an extra edge to people. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, always wild. So prepare thyself. I would like to welcome KNST-AM in Tucson, Arizona. Guess what, Tucson? You now get the entire program from 10 at night to, let me see, 3 in the morning, every day, Sunday through Friday. That's KNST-AM 790 radio in Tucson, Arizona. So there you have it, 790, interesting frequency, also the same frequency as KABC in Los Angeles. So if there is kind of a weird little area where 790 is not here nor there, the two signals might mesh and but would make a nice little corridor of continuity. I like that. I just made that up, corridor of continuity. Anyway, welcome KNST in Tucson. Now, I just found out there is a new Art Bell Chat Club opening in London, England. You must have a lot of listeners over there to get a chat club in London already. Cool. That reminds me to give out my international number. You can call London or Sydney or anywhere else in the world toll free. We actually have the first, perhaps now, not the only, but I know the first real, true, toll-free international line. So wherever you are in the world, we would love to hear. And the number is, well, actually, you've got to get a hold of the AT&T operator. Call and get the AT&T operator and ask her for 800-893-0903. Once again, internationally, 800-893-0903, and we pay for the call. Now, why should you go visit my website tonight? Let me give you a few reasons. One, we have a photograph of Area 51 that is maybe good enough to get us in trouble. I received this anonymously. There have been various photographs of Area 51. None I'm aware of this good. I can't tell you when it was taken, and I won't tell you who took it. But I will tell you that it is up on my website right now, or until they take it down. So, there you have it. I think it was legally taken. I don't think we're giving away any national security secrets, but indeed it does show in some detail an area the government continues to claim does not exist. So, sent me a computer photograph, and what I did was scan and slightly improve a computer photograph, and that person wishes to remain anonymous, and so I will respect those wishes.
Even when Men in Black come.
Anyway, I put it up on the website. What the hell? You only live once, right? Actually, I've got a whole series of photographs. This was the one I liked best, and so I scanned it and put it up there for you. As you know, my book, The Art of Talk, has gone into bookstores nationally, and there was a really cool ad that ran Publishers Weekly. And so I scanned a portion of that, put that up there on the website. You can see that. And then there is the rogue market. I want to enlist everybody's help out there. The rogue market is really cool. I became aware of the rogue market about, I think, 3 weeks ago. And it allows you to go up there. You'll see it right at the, near the top, second or third item down in the new section. Just click on it. You go over to the rogue market. You fill out a form. And you are given $10,000 or $15,000. Not real money. Rogue market money. And then you can invest that money in all kinds of things. People. Personalities of all sorts. And I found out about 3 weeks ago when somebody sent me a fax that I was one of the personalities that you can invest in. Along with Rush and Dr. Laura and, you know, all the major, I guess, current national talk show hosts. So I thought I would urge everybody to go invest, buy some stock. Now, obviously, the faster you go over there and buy stock, the better off you are, because there are going to be a bunch of people going over there. So if you buy stock at, say, 126, you buy some Art Bell stock at 126, and you get in there before the next guy, then when the next guy buys, the price of the stock goes up and you make money. Not real money, rogue market money, but it's cool and it's fun. And so when you go to my website, be sure and do that as soon as you can, as a matter of fact. I'm trying now already, I think we already passed Rush and Dr. Laura some time ago, and now we're shooting for Imus and Howard Stern, who still lead the pack, and I have a feeling they've been sending their audiences up there when you look at the numbers. So I thought I would marshal my forces, that would be all of you, to go up and do some trading on the rogue market. Buy some Art Bell stock. Or anybody's stock, really. Actually, I'd like to have you buy mine. Because I intend to catch up and eventually pass all of them. I'm so competitive. I want to give you an idea of what my schedule is. And I will do that in Alaska in a moment. The UPS strike is over. That's it. CNN has had it as breaking news for quite a while now. Alexis Herman and the president putting some pressure on by saying, you know, they're this close right now. And I'm very glad to see it. And I hope I put some pressure on, too. How much damage has UPS by this strike will not be known for a while. But I suspect they're going to get back to work very quickly. What was announced tonight was a tentative settlement. The details are not going to be known right away. But UPS is going back to work. Yay. Because there are a lot of small businesses all across America that were threatened. And had the strike gone on, I think the union would have been threatened and UPS would have been threatened. And so I would like to thank all sides involved, including Alexis Herman, who batted their heads together until they got the job done. So I'm very, very glad the UPS strike is over. The Mir space station. More trouble. The Mir space station, for a period of time, hours, was spinning chaotically in orbit. About 10 minutes prior to docking of a replenishment ship, the main computer went... The commander of the space station said, I'll bring it in, and he brought it in and docked the resupply ship himself. Unfortunately, the main was reported out after they went, yay, in Moscow, or wherever they control Mir. Then they determined the main computer had gone out. The whole thing began tumbling, as it has done many times before. The damage is more significant than they thought. the spacewalk to repair the electrons and get more power into Mir has been put off now 2 or 3 days because of the computer problem. And so it goes on, and on, and on. And I think pretty soon they ought to decide enough is enough. And I don't know how much science is being done up there. Mostly what they do is huddle in the dark and worry about whether they should be jumping into the escape module. I think Mir has just about lived its useful life, and I don't know why we're intent on having Americans up there. I think it's dangerous. In New York City, truly something horrible has occurred. I'm sure you've heard about it, seen it. Two more New York City police officers have been arrested to face charges in the arrest. Police Commissioner Howard Seffer, I believe it is, said the two officers arrested today are being held for allegedly assaulting Haitian immigrant Abner Luisma before he was taken to the police precinct house. They were the officers actually have been charged with assault and criminal possession of a weapon. The police radios they allegedly used to beat him, and more, sexually assaulted with a bathroom plunger. And the whole thing is nuts. Absolutely nuts. Meat troubles. U.S. Agriculture Department sending in a big team, a SWAT team, they called it, to a Nebraska plant, meat plant, looking for cause of the recall of 5 million, that's 5 million hamburger patties. Everybody worried about E. coli. What is a U.S. Agricultural Department SWAT team, anyway? Somehow I think of all these guys in vests with the alphabet stuff on the back of their jackets coming in with fly swatters and swatting flies. It's not that, of course. But a SWAT team for meat. Let me read you a little bit of an Associated Press story about Montserrat. A British warship has pulled into port on this Caribbean island, it occurred Monday, to help carry away residents who want to escape the Rumbling Hills volcano. In London, the British minister responsible for the colony said he couldn't rule out the possibility that a, quote, cataclysmic eruption could literally engulf Montserrat, an island 250 miles southeast of Puerto Rico. The consequences of such an event, should it occur, would be extreme, and anywhere on the whole island could be significantly threatened. Citing a growing threat from the volcano in southern Montserrat, officials announced Saturday they were preparing for a voluntary evacuation of the island. In other words, they're saying this island could literally blow up. Boom. That's it. Montserrat could let go, not with a continuing and slow eruption, but a literal explosion that could probably affect the weather worldwide. And the last place you would want to be if that occurred would be on the island of Montserrat. Now, I wonder how the people in the Virgin Islands, and of course I'm on the air there, and surrounding islands, Puerto Rico, we're going to be on the air there soon, feel about this. Because they, if that kind of an explosion should really occur, they would, of course, be immediately, I would think, if the wind is right, covered in ash, and there would be fallout all over the place. So Montserrat may be getting ready to let go. They don't pull British warships in for evacuation unless they really think something's about to let go. So any comments from the Virgin Islands would be welcome. I am going to have a man on at midnight tonight that I think you're going to find very interesting. He sent me some email, and he lives in a little place called Berea, B-E-R-E-A, Kentucky. And this man, just a guy, knows about feral humans. feral humans. And while he does not discount reports of Bigfoot, he thinks that a number of those reports could be because of feral humans. Do you have any idea what we're talking about when we talk, when we say feral human? Like my cat, a feral cat, a cat that never saw a human being until it met me. In this case, a human being who has never seen another human being. These people do exist in the mountains, in that area where this man lives. They exist. He knows he's seen one. And unless you have ever dealt with a wild animal, and a wild human would be no different, you can't imagine what an interesting, tedious, difficult, loving, hard job it is to, well, I don't know if you'd apply the word to a human being, but to tame them. It is still going on. It is an ongoing thing with my feral cat. I'll tell that whole story one of these days, maybe even later tonight, and update you on my... So I know what feral means. And in this case, he's talking about feral human beings. There was a movie done about a feral human being called Nell. Jodie Foster did it. Well, I sure would like to do an interview with Jodie Foster. Are you listening, Jodie? At any rate, let me quickly give you my schedule. I know this much. I'm going to be in Juneau, Alaska, Tuesday, August 26th. Juneau, Alaska, Tuesday, August 26th, in Skagway. Wednesday the 27th. Wednesday the 27th. I will be in Seward, Alaska by 9 o'clock in the morning, I think, August 30th. And then in Anchorage, Alaska, at about 12:30 or so in the afternoon on August 30th. And I will do an interview on KENI. I'm going to go down to the KENI studios and do an interview. And I'm looking forward to seeing Anchorage. It's long, long, too long a time, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. So my wife and I will be in those places, and I'll try and repeat that here toward the end of the week. All kinds of stuff for you this morning, including Darwin Award candidates, new Darwin Award candidates. I want to find out about an Oregon potato blight. There's something very serious going on up in Oregon, I do believe, with regard to the potatoes. And, of course, that's a serious crop up there. So there's a blight. Anyway, we're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. Open lines coming up next. I'm Art Bell.
Her hair is hollow gold. Lips sweet pride. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She's got a music on you. You won't have to think twice.
This is CBC.
She's pure as New York snow. She's got Betty Davis eyes.
Taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. 727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Once again, here I am. All right, I got a fax from somebody saying KNST made an announcement that they're having some technical difficulties. First day hitches are not unusual. Bear with them. I'm sure they'll get it straightened out. Even though we may not be there yet, or we might just be getting there, rest assured, we're coming to Tucson, actually moving in Tucson, to a full-timer. That is 10 o'clock at night to 3 o'clock in the morning on KNST 790. It will happen. This is such a wild piece of music, isn't it? You can get it in a few places, but not too many just yet. Not just yet, but it's coming. A Puramac 3. It's Cusco, and it is incredible. This stuff absolutely gets in your blood. It's Return to Native America, a Puramac 3, actually, and it completes the trilogy from Cusco. Hey, Art, I was just looking at the latest photo of Area 51 on your website, and I noticed something interesting in it. If you've seen this and addressed it on your show, I apologize for not knowing anyway. If you look at the right side of the photo, about halfway down, you'll see an object either on the mountainside or flying above the base. It appears to have a rounded top with a flat bottom. If, in fact, this object is flying above the base, could it be one reason the photo was taken? You know, I do see the object in question. I've got the photo in front of me. And it is one of two things. It is, this person imagines, or it is a water tower. And I can't quite make out which, but indeed this faxer is correct. There is an object there that appears to be suspended above the others, but I'm not sure enough to say what it is. Interesting. Thank you very much. That photo on the website now of Area 51. All right, we are about to enter the realm of unscreened, open line, talk radio. Anything can happen, good or bad, so get ready. First, let me talk to you about Valdata Manu. What I've got to do is take their commercial and kind of throw it away, because it just doesn't impart what really needs to be imparted to you. They sell two things. They sell the best military-grade binoculars that ought to cost at least $1,000. I mean, there is no question about it. These are military-spec binoculars. They are the best optics I have ever seen in my entire life. They have multi-layered, multi-coated, anti-reflex-treated lenses, glass-manufactured, if you know optics, by the Schott company, the world-famous Schott company in Germany. BAK4 oversized pearl prism block design, whatever all that means. What it means to me is, as a matter of fact, these binoculars go on every cruise with me, of course. Nitrogen filled so you don't get any fogging. I mean, these are just so spectacular. You will know when you hold them in your hot little palm that you have the best there is. I have never seen optics this good in my whole life, and when I saw them, I chased this company down and got them as a sponsor. I said, you've got to sell these. Now, they also have a rifle scope of equal quality, which can be used for hunting or, their word, tactical. You know, I would imagine that police departments and that sort of thing would be interested in something of this quality. So, I suggest, and by the way, what should be $1,000 begins at $349. 1-800-569-6268. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. Everybody I've shown them to has not bought them. That's 1-800-569-6268. It's really cool to be able to offer quality. 3, the Sea Crane Company. All right. Here we go. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Good guess. I'm the only one here.
Oh, good.
So when I answer the phone, that means it's me.
Oh, okay. Good. I want to ask you if you can give us a light on Mr. Fidget and the fidgets you've got.
Well, I wouldn't know what kind of update to give you. I've got fidgets. I use them. Mr. Fidget is out there probably dialing his fingers raw trying to get in.
Right.
I have no idea of what kind of... What are you expecting in terms of an update?
Have you tried those fidgets yet?
Of course I've tried.
Okay, did it work?
It depends on what you mean by work.
Well, you've mentioned on the radio that the fidget can, if you like, time travel.
There are people who say they have traveled in time.
Okay.
Mr. Fidget, if you listen to him, said that he doesn't believe that that is possible.
Oh, he doesn't?
He doesn't.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Do you believe that the other night that he got into the phone line?
I considered his getting in to be almost impossible, actually.
Okay.
And the odds of it, I mean, thank you. If you really sit down and think about what he did and how he did it. Yeah, almost impossible. The odds of his being able to get through it will like that are just about nil. I mean, really, when you consider how many million people are out there and dialing. Probably not dialing. I would say hundreds of thousands are dialing. So what are the odds of one guy getting through? Not very good at any given instant, that's for sure. So there you are. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. This is Paul calling from Berkeley.
Hey, Paul.
I'm really excited to get in on the phone. I wanted to talk about two things.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about Free Radio Berkeley.
Okay.
And I wanted to talk about millennialism.
All right. Free Radio Berkeley is a pirate radio station.
I know.
It's been on and off the air over the years. Is it on now?
Yes, it has been going continuously since February of 1995 and has encountered little interference from the FCC.
Right. Well, actually, I think they won some sort of court battle, and then it was going back to court, and I don't know where it is. It's so tied up in legalities now that they'll probably be on the air forever.
Well, we may have a 30-year run. speaking we as one of the volunteers. Anyway, Judge Claudia Wilkins said that when she had made it, she would hand it down, and we are still waiting.
Okay, so it's still, that's what I said, it'll be legally hung up forever. And even if she hands it down, you know, there's going to be, they'll figure out another way to come at you. You know they will. I mean, it's going to be a war forever.
Oh, certainly. For instance, the city of Berkeley has told the people at the station that we need a use permit to operate a radio station in Berkeley.
Well, why don't you go and try to get one?
Well, you know, Al Capone got sent to jail on tax evasion charges.
That's right.
That was kind of an end-around move, I think. But anyway, we're alive and well and still kicking it here in Berkeley.
Yeah.
And
when you see Mr. Dunifer, say, tell him I said hi.
Okay, yeah, I just saw him today. He's doing well.
Okay.
Just as an aside, I really enjoyed the fidget guy.
Yeah, that was unusual radio. I mean, that's what I like doing. If I wanted to sit here and do what everybody else did, I could do that. I don't. Too boring.
Yeah, he really has some nonstop patter that is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting on to my other point, which is millennialism.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of people who might think that the sky is falling.
Well, maybe it will.
Yeah, it could.
I mean, have you considered that possibility?
Well,
I know there is millennial madness out there, but there are indications going on all over the place, everywhere you care to look, really, that things are coming to some sort of crescendo. It may or may not be true. I think it is.
Well, I think it's a matter of perception. For instance, if we all believed Harold Camping from Family Radio in Oakland, we would have believed that the world would have ended 11 months ago, back in September 96. But as we all know, it did not end.
Are you sure?
I'm sure we're still alive here, Art.
Yeah, it looks that way, but, you know, maybe not.
Well,
maybe we're all dead, and we're just acting out some sort of strange echo of what was our life.
Consider this, okay? Back in the year 999, there was a lot of apprehension and fear about the coming of the year
1000. No, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true.
Nothing happened in 999.
However.
Okay.
I really urge chance to read my book, The Quickening, because the center contention, the reason I wrote that book is because everybody said, look, it's a matter of mass communication. There's more going on now. We hear about it quickly, if not instantly, when tragedies occur. And so that explains what you, Art, call the quickening. So I wrote the book in order to prove that that was incorrect, that there really is a quickening going on, and there is. So read the book and then call me back, and we'll have a discussion about that. About whether it's real or whether it's just some sort of millennial madness.
All right, Art, if I could say one more thing. There was a lot of fear and apprehension about the Hale-Bopp comet and the companion object that was supposedly flying along with Hale-Bopp.
Yes.
Which all turned out to be a bunch of bull.
How do you know?
Because it was revealed that there was no companion
there was no question about
it was a doctored up image.
Yeah, I proved that. But thank you very much. Listen on the air. How do you know where those people are right now? Those 39 who took their lives. How do you know where they are? The answer is, you don't. If you read their suicide note, it clearly stated in it that whether or not a comet Hale-Bopp had a companion was irrelevant. And I'm surely not suggesting to you that what they did was a good, proper thing. But, you know, I'm pretty much of a libertarian. I have very strong, strong feelings against suicide. Very strong. But that's my personal conviction. And I would not endeavor through law or any other means that on you. So I'm not so sure that I know where they are. Are you? And while we're on the subject, I have been contacted. Let's see, how can I put this to you in a general sense? I have been contacted. As you know, I never had a thing to do with the Heaven's Gate people. The first I knew of those people is the day that the news began these suicides. But there are more Heaven's Gate people out there than you are aware of. I have been contacted by a representative of some of those Heaven's Gate people that remain out there. I will be talking to these people in the next few days, and we may do an interview. Thought I'd sort of let that one slip. No guarantees. It's not a done deal. We're going to do a pre-interview and see what happens. But these are people you don't know about. As a matter of fact, people I didn't know about until just recently. We'll see. Easton Hawkeyes, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Calling from Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Altoona. Okay, get into that phone and yell at us.
Okay. I can yell too loud. Everybody else is in bed.
I understand. It's getting late in Altoona.
Yeah, it was getting late everywhere. But first of all, I don't, as far as the Heaven's Gate, I know some people blamed, you were interviewed after that, right? And
endlessly.
You were basically almost blamed for that, and I thought that was pretty bad. I mean, you know, I don't think you're responsible for that. And
well, the press always needs somebody. They need to peg everything. And as far as the press was concerned, the angle on Heaven's Gate was the supposed UFO that was behind it. And once they heard that, they came after me. Once they read the suicide note, they went away. So, you know, they tried. I mean, the press always tries to do that. The national press, they want to put the blame somewhere.
Make a story. May I ask you, how long have you been interested in, in UFOs, per se? How long have you had an interest in that?
Well, I had a mild interest about 4.5 years ago when I saw one close up and for real. And then I began to get an intense interest. And anybody who has a very, very close sighting like that who does not become very interested is brain dead.
So you actually saw one?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, we get your show Dreamland on our local affiliate here. We get it on our local station, but we don't get your overnight show. I got to listen long distance for that.
Well, call them up. That's, you know.
Well, they
be nice. When you call, be nice and just simply suggest that you have the regular weeknight show.
Well, see, the thing is, they sign off. They're the only station. They're the only station in town that signs off.
Well, then, in that case, save your phone call.
Oh, yeah. All right, you have a good night, Art.
Take care. And if you listen carefully long distance, you will find us on the dial somewhere. What you need is a good radio and, most of all, a good antenna. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. It's Dana in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Hey, Dana.
Hi. A couple of quick things. I finally got your book, The Quickening.
Well, good for you.
And I'm really enjoying that. And for those of us who listen to your program, I mean, we've heard enough about it. It's hair-raising either way, but... Well, I feel sorry for the people that get the book that have never heard of this. It's going to scare the pants off of people.
I know.
But it's a really good book. You did a great job.
Well, it's documented, Dana.
Yes, it is.
That was the whole idea.
Yeah, well, you did a great job, but I haven't finished it yet. But what I've read, you did a really good job writing the book.
Thank you.
And I'm really enjoying it. The other thing, I have a question. Are you going to have Ed Dames on anytime soon?
Yes.
I'm dying to hear what he has to say about the Phoenix Light.
Me too. As a matter of fact, I know Ed sits out there and listens. Ed, make the lights happen over Barump.
There you go.
He sent me a fax saying he could make the lights happen.
I know, I heard that, and that's why I was wondering when he was going to be on, you know, and either... You know, make them happen or come on your show and tell us how it happened.
Well, it would be particularly dramatic if he could cause it to occur over my little valley. Then I think I'd be tempted to call him immediately, actually.
There you go. Come on, Ed. I know you got to be out there listening.
He is.
Yeah. Well, you have a good night.
All right. You too. Take care. I will be on the air the remainder of this week. I will be doing Dreamland this coming Sunday. Matter of fact, wonder who I've got on. Let me see if I can find that. It's up on the website, so you guys might know before I get to it here. I guess I'm going to have to look harder. Whenever I want to find something, I can't. Oh, here we go. All right. Coming up this week is going to be Dr. Dean Radin, author of The Conscious Universe. Ooh. The Scientific Truth of Psychic Phenomena. Ooh, that sounds good. Anyway, I'll do Dreamland. Then I will be here Monday night, Tuesday morning as well, and then off I go. So there you are. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Hey, yes.
How's it going?
It's going.
I was just kind of curious about the mirror. I know last night... in Eastern Washington, he was able to see it, you know, from the surface. And my older brother called me up, and he said that he's seen the cargo or the supply ship behind the mirror, and he's looking through, like, a 20 by 80 lens.
Are you the guy who sent me the email?
I sure am.
Oh, okay. And then he saw an object really speed by.
Right. And I was curious if anybody else seen the same thing.
Well, we just did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what you just did when you said that.
Okay, well, I'll stay tuned, okay?
All right, very good. What this man said was that he saw the mirror, and he saw the cargo ship, which was close by it, and was able to distinguish, and I would imagine that would be possible, between the two, but saw an object go speeding by at an incredible rate of speed. Now, it's reasonable for one to ask oneself, what do you think happened to the main computer on the mirror? What could have happened to that main computer to completely crash it? Well, I'll tell you one thing that crashes computers. Electromagnetic pulses crash computers. Oh, they do a real job on computers. And something happened to that computer all at once. The cosmonauts didn't do it. Ground control didn't do it, they assure us. Whatever happened to that computer, the computer, they say, did it to itself. Now, I wonder what that could be. Do you suppose something streaking by mirror could have sent out a pulse and hit that computer? Ah, well, one can but wonder. I'm Art Bell, and this is CBC.
According to a